Take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. During my college years, a student came to our Christian college from New York City. It wasn't long before he found himself in disciplinary peril. He had an affection, it seemed, for racking up demerits. 10 demerits, 20 demerits, 30 demerits, 50 demerits, 75 demerits. At 75 demerits, there were some complications that came with your standing on campus. He moved beyond that to 100, 120, 140, and then he broke 150, which is, according to the standards at that time, an automatic expulsion. And so he found himself standing again in front of the discipline committee. They had powwowed before he entered the room, and they said, you know, he's young, he's a rookie, he's just getting started, we want to give him a break. They had shaved his demerit total down to just under that magic 150 line, hoping to preserve his enrollment there in the school. And they explained that to him when he came in. And, of course, they told him, you've got to be really careful now because there's just a few more weeks before the semester's over, and you've got to keep a clean record. He wasn't all that happy with anything, but especially he wasn't happy seeing the discipline committee again. So he exited the room, and then he came back in the room, and in New York City fashion, as only he could say it, he looked at the group and he said, hey, thanks for the demerits, yeah? And turned and walked out. Well, that was his last conversation with the discipline committee. He then joined a new fraternity. It was called Flya Delta Homa, and he was gone. He was learning a very valuable lesson. It's a lesson that each of us needs to learn. It's a lesson that we discover in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, that God wants each of us to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the 18th verse. I'm going to ask you to share it aloud with me together this morning, all together aloud. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just the 18th verse aloud together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Developing an attitude of gratitude, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into His Word. Father, we thank You that not only do You command, but You enable. For Lord, this morning as we pause to consider Your many blessings, they truly are without number. To know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we have a home in heaven, to know that we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, to know the promise of God that You will care for all of our needs out of the treasure house of the store of Your glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, to know that You have laid up for us a mansion in heaven, it's beyond spectacular and beyond wonderful. And so this morning, Lord, I pray You'd help us to lay it to heart that we'd be a people who have deep seated within us, welling up every day, not just on Thanksgiving Day, an attitude of gratitude that would cause rejoicing to our God and bring glory to His name. May we glorify You this morning as we reflect upon Your goodness, and may we be challenged to go out from this room with our hearts in tune with the things of the Lord. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A story is told of a man who went to the barber shop to get his hair cut. The barber said, oh, you're getting your hair cut at a different time. You're usually here at a different time in the week. And the man said, well, I'm going on a journey. In fact, I'm going to Europe. Oh, said the barber, where are you going to visit? He said, well, first we're going to stop in England. The barber said, phew, England. He said, high prices, bad food. The guy said, well, then we're going to France. The barber said, France. He said, the rudest people on the planet, people in France. The guy said, well, then we're going to end up in Italy. Oh, the barber said, forget about getting an audience with the Pope. That place is crowded. You thought the food was bad in England. Wait till you get to Italy. Well, the guy went on his journey, and he came back from his journey. He sat down again to the barbershop's chair, and as he sat there, the barber said, hey, didn't you go on a trip? And the man said, yeah, I wanted to tell you about it. He said, when I got to England, he said, man, the food was great. I loved everything they served me. And the people in France, some of the nicest people I ever met were the people in France. He said, then we got to Italy, and you won't believe this. What's that? Said the barber. Well, we went to the Vatican, and sure enough, we got an audience with the Pope. You did? He said, yeah, the Pope, it was really interesting. He said, the Pope came right up to me and he leaned in my ear and spoke to me in perfect English. He did, said the barber. What did he say? He said, he told me, you've got a lousy haircut. You know, all of us need to be reminded that we need to develop an attitude of gratitude. It's not accidental that from our childhood, we hear often, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Because all of us are ingrates by nature. Ingratitude seems to be growing in our culture, and that should not be a surprise. After all, God said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. What will those perilous times be like? Well, they're laid out for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the Word of God says, men will be lovers of their own selves, ungrateful, unholy. Even so, we live in a generation that seems to be more and more without gratitude. Cicero said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, it is the parent of all others. God wants us to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Will you read again with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18? I'd like to drill this into our memory today in preparation for Thanksgiving. Altogether aloud, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'd like us to approach this text from four different vantage points this morning. I'd like us to approach it from four different vantage points as we discover how God wants each of us to develop an attitude of gratitude. I want us to notice first that there's an imperative here. There's an imperative here, a command, if you will. In everything, give thanks. That's not a recommendation, folks. That's an obligation. That's not a suggestion that God is making. That's a command that God has given. In everything, give thanks. Unless you think that somehow this was a slip of the apostle's pen, we need to be reminded that frequently in God's Word, God is sharing with us the necessity of cultivating a grateful spirit. In Psalm 50 and verse 4, offer unto God thanksgiving. In Psalm 147 and verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, be ye thankful. God repeats this and repeats this and repeats this because we need to be constantly reminded to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. This verse says, in everything give thanks. It's easy to be thankful when things are good. God wants us to develop an attitude of gratitude even when things are tough. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4 and verse 4. And again, I say rejoice. It has seemed to me often that there are two cellars in which bitterness ferments. The Bible says, giving all diligence, look diligently lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. The cellar of ingratitude will bring forth an awful brew of bitterness. The cellar of anger, unresolved, will yield bitterness as well. May God help us to keep the cellar clear, lest we fall prey to that awful malady of bitterness. When there's an absence of gratitude, there's never an absence of greed. Circumstances, you see, can rob the Christian of many things. But circumstances cannot rob the believer of the ability to give thanks. When we make room for ingratitude, we make room for any number of sins. When we allow ingratitude to linger in our hearts, we find so many other results. Let's ask some questions today. Why are so many marriages crumbling? Could the answer be that gratitude has died? When's the last time you were grateful to God for the spouse that He has blessed you with? Why are so many children susceptible to drugs and violence? Could it be that instead of teaching an attitude of gratitude, we've fostered an attitude of entitlement? Why are so many enslaved to pornographic perversity? 2 Timothy 3, the Word of God reminds us, perilous times shall come, they will be unthankful, then they will be unholy. Why are so many struggling to find meaning in the workforce, waking up Monday morning and always wishing it were Friday? Perhaps they don't start the day with gratitude to God for good health and for provision. You see, ingratitude is a root sin from which many other branches feed. Gratitude protects our purity. Gratitude promotes peace. Gratitude pleases God. The year was 1636. The 30 Years' War was raging. Pastor Martin Rinker was called upon to conduct over 5,000 funerals, sometimes conducting as many as 15 funerals in a day. Those 5,000 funerals were conducted in a year. Pastor Rinker could literally sit in his home and hear the war raging, knowing that the people in his church were now impoverished, some were dying. Pastor Rinker saw death on every corner. And yet Pastor Rinker was able to sit down at his desk and write a little poem for his children that he would share at his dinner table with them that evening. He wrote these words: "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." You see, Pastor Rinker came to understand something we need to understand also this morning, that gratitude's an imperative. It's a command. Gratitude is an imperative, and there's a second way I want to look at this verse this morning as we look at it from a different vantage point, if you will, and make application of it. And that's this. There's not only an imperative here, but there's inspiration here. There's inspiration here. After all, these words of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 had God as the divine author, but had a man as a human author, and that man was the Apostle Paul. Let's take our Bibles and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for just a moment this morning, as we draw inspiration from the man that the Spirit of God chose to be the author of this verse that meets us where we live and prepares us for Thanksgiving Day. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're about to read the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes very autobiographically, the one used of God to tell us to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, was a man who had stormed the capitals of ancient Rome with the gospel. He's a man who faced death threats at Damascus and antagonism in Antioch. He's a man who was left for dead, actually having been stoned in Lystra. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner in Philippi, where he had been beaten and placed in a chain. He'd been attacked in Athens and cruelly mocked, exposed to the hatred of the mob in Ephesus. The human author of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 is a man who had learned to sing in the prison and suffer for the cause of Christ, and stand before magistrates and give testimony to God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin our reading in verse 24. The Apostle Paul says, "Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one." 195 scars covered the body of the Apostle Paul. Then he says, "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep." And then he continues, "In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. And yet this human author who inspires us, I hope, this morning, would write to Timothy, his son in the faith, and say in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Can I let you in on a secret? Satan loves to deceive us into believing that we could be grateful if our circumstances were just a little bit different. Satan loves to have us believe that our discontent, our bitterness, our agitation, our depression is a result of our problems. In other words, I'm not grateful and I have an agitated spirit because of external forces that I cannot control. I gotta ask you a question this morning. How do you explain the joy of the Apostle Paul that he could write from the prison to the Philippians and say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Freedom was gone. A hope of the future was vanishing away. He is not able to be around the fellowship of the believers. And yet he writes to others to rejoice. How do you explain the life of the Apostle Paul? There's only one way to explain it, and that's this. No matter how real the Christian's grief may be, for the Christian, there's always room for gratitude. No matter how deep the Christian's pain may be, and that pain can be very deep, there's always room for thanksgiving. George Dooley lived in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. For 14 years, he was really a rather helpless, crippled man. Rheumatoid arthritis had taken away his ability to move. He could not feed himself. He could not dress himself. He made his living with one finger typing as a writer. Listen to the words that he wrote. This dear Christian man typed, just be thankful for each day. Don't wait till each November. Other blessings come that day that are easier to remember. The little things we oft forget through our toil and care will often bring to us regret that's hard indeed to bear. Thanksgiving Day, said Dooley, is always here. It can never slip our mind. Why should we wait another year and always be a year behind? For our gratitude to God we owe, 'twill sure fail due each day. It will never do to let it go when he'll expect his pay. Can you still share with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18? Let's turn back there and say it again aloud together when we find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And we still say it all together aloud. Ready? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We've seen in this passage an imperative. It's a command. It comes through the pen of a man who was an inspiration, the Apostle Paul, whose life bore testimony that it's possible for the believer, even in the darkest of days, to sing the sweetest of praise. Let's come at this verse from a different angle. Let's notice here that there's an iniquity that is also found. There is iniquity here because this is an imperative, in everything give thanks. Then, failure to obey is sin. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And failure to give thanks, then, is sin. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Milton said, he that is ungrateful has no guilt but one. All other crimes may pass for virtues in him. Swift said, he that calls a man ungrateful sums up all the evil of which one can ever be guilty. R.G. Lee said, ingratitude will steal money from a blind man's cup, trample love underfoot, sneak into the graveyard under the cover of darkness and rob the graves of patriots. Ingratitude rewards its benefactors with wounds. It's the serpent one takes into his bosom, warming it back to life, which rewards its benefactors by biting him heinously from his heinous and hissing head and by striking poisonous fangs into his heart. Trust the ungrateful soul with money. He'll steal it. With honor, he'll betray it. With virtue, he'll violate it. With love and with a hellish alchemy, he will transmute it into lust. With your good name, and he will besmirch it. And the awful iniquity of ingratitude is so common that in Luke chapter 10, the gospel writers share with us the story of the 10 lepers. You remember the story? How that of the 10 lepers, only one would return. And Jesus asked the question when that one came back to say thank you. Were there not 10 healed? And where are the 9? Folks, when we harbor ingratitude, we harbor a sin that does not like to dwell alone. We harbor a magnet when we harbor ingratitude in our hearts. And so we must diligently, carefully, and spiritually allow our hearts to be maintaining that constant vigilance of thanksgiving. You see, Romans chapter 1 says, because when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God. Watch it. Neither were they thankful. And so God gave them up unto lust. When ingratitude is harbored in the heart, it creates a chain reaction of blackness. And the only way to counter ingratitude is to count your blessings. To move forward realizing that every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. And to allow your soul to just simply rejoice that in him there is no turning, not even a shadow of it, that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you go back over the various blessings that he has bequeathed upon you and look forward to the blessings that he has promised to you, dear Christian friend, there should be no room in your heart for an ungrateful spirit, no room in your soul for ingratitude. And so we need to count our blessings. In everything, give thanks, this passage says. Everything? Everything. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Word of God says. Always? And again I say rejoice. So can I ask you a question? Have you thanked the Lord for your illness? Have you thanked the Lord for the difficulties of your marriage? Have you thanked the Lord for your children? Maybe you say, well, Pastor Phelps, my children have been a heartbreak for a number of years. Have you thanked the Lord for the wonderful memories of the times when they were not a heartbreak? Have you thanked the Lord for our nation? I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. There ought to well up within us, especially at Thanksgiving time, gratitude to God for the blessings he bestows on us and are taken by us often without thought. Is there anything at all about anybody in Washington, D.C., that you're thankful for this morning? I don't mean to be facetious. It brings conviction to me as well. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's an imperative here given by a person who was an inspiration, pointing out that failure to live by this imperative is an iniquity. So let's remember that as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, there's an inclusiveness here as well. There's an inclusiveness here. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There is no believer left out. God commands every Christian to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? You see, because those who are in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, are made new. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. If your circumstances would add up to a great big lousy, you still have room for thanksgiving. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He's made you a new creature. He's forgiven you of all your sins. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For those who have accepted the gift that was purchased on Calvary by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have accepted that gift beyond any other gift, Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Every single one of them, past, present, and future. And while we don't want to grieve Him by our continued practice of sins, we realize that in our flesh dwells no good thing, and what a blessing to know that we have an advocate before God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And every sin that we commit because of the wonderful purchase price of Calvary has been paid for. Jesus paid it all. Then He was buried. That God proved that the sacrifice for sin was completely received when Jesus rose up from the grave. He is proven to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The sun had just risen on a hot August day back in 1944. The place was Plélo, France. The Germans were occupying the little village. And a 15-year-old boy stood with the others in front of the firing squad. That 15-year-old boy had no idea why he was standing there that day. Perhaps he thought someone in our village has been harboring a fugitive. Perhaps the German soldiers just have a bloodlust. But as that 15-year-old boy stood before that firing squad, the thoughts went through his mind of days of peace that he once enjoyed in the French countryside. He wondered what it would have been like to have grown up. Honestly, he was so terrified of dying. The thoughts crossed his mind, will the bullets hurt when they hit me? Every time he breathed, his body racked with sobs and he hoped that no one would see it. Because after all, he did want to appear brave, even though his heart was quivering. He stood there in the firing squad, and then suddenly, mortar shells exploded. Suddenly, tanks were heard just outside the boundaries of that little village. And so the firing squad abandoned its task. There were resistance fighters who were coming. They had gotten the attention of General Patton and the Third Army. And a man by the name of Bob Hemsley led 20 GIs who invaded that village. Those 20 GIs took the lives of 50 Germans and captured more than 60 prisoners. But most importantly, the people who were lined up at the firing squad were all set free. Years went by, and in 1990, the little village of Plélo honored Bob Hemsley, the man who led the tanks into the village and freed the people at the firing squad. The man who initiated that celebration and looked for the soldier Hemsley to bring him back to Plélo had been 15 years of age in 1944. But he wasn't 15 anymore. Now he was the mayor of Plélo, France. He lived to see that day because on a day many years earlier, one man and 20 American GIs had set him free. He was determined that he was going to honor the man who saved his life. You see, it's impossible for the thankful heart to ever forget his Savior. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, we celebrate it as Christians. We go first to Calvary. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for our sins. And from there, every other blessing is for us to be enjoyed. May God help us to do as the Word of God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.